I'm continuing with this exchanges between Z. Charnot and a friend, T.E.W. or T.W. Right now I'm on a letter written by Z, Friday, November the 11th, 2005, partway through. This is part 5 so far. And Z says, I used a large polycarbonate jar. I took a sound parabola with a hole in the center and put it on top of the polycarbonate jar. I sat the humidifier cone down through the hole in the parabola. I used a chemistry rack and clamps to hold the embroidery hoop over the humidifier. The lighting fixture goes over the embroidery hoop with a tent surrounding the whole structure. I can send some photographs of this assembly. The lighting fixture is situated 8.75 inches above the seed. As they grow, move the lighting fixture up. When you get that together, I can inform you about the number of hours for each step in the process. I was feeding this to Simmental cows. How's that for a beginning? Worms, Z. And Terry responds on November the 13th, regarding allies and sprouting. Dear Z, thank you for the thoughtful reply. I'll get to work acquiring the parts for sprouting, and when I have obtained them, then a photo or drawing may be useful to assist in construction. Kind regards. And Z, T.W. writes again on Sunday, November the 13th, 2005, here are a couple of links to some things that caught my eye. They may be of interest to you if you haven't seen them yet. This seems to be a backup, seems to back up the point you made in your book that nature loves diversity and that diversity is a sign of growth, while similarity or sameness is a sign of stagnation. The warning here should not surprise us, I guess. The link is to planets, wildlife growing more alike, experts warn. T.E.W. goes on, I don't know if you have seen this material before or not, but I came across it again, so thought I'd pass a link on. It's intriguing material because this Ananda also had or has a source supplying channeled information since about 1990, and a lot of the writing reminds me of that of David Wilcock, or perhaps David Wilcock and Dan Winter. I saw David Wilcock write some notes of dismissal regarding this work on ASC2K, the forum for David Wilcock, but his seemed to be the comments of a busy person not wanting to fully investigate the competitive information, so I'm not sure what to make of that. I intuitively liked the sacred geometry and fractal concepts found in these works. Anyway, I pass it on in case there is something of interest here. And the links are http://phoenix.akasha.de/squiggly-aton/NUHTML. Sincerely, T.W. T.W. writes again. Graduation Contemplation, written November the 19th, 2005. I've been writing to a friend, Dear Z, I've been writing to a friend recently on the topic of transformation from fourth to fifth world, and there is a question that's been sitting in the back of my mind for a while that I haven't been able to fully resolve, so I thought I might ask your opinion on it, if it isn't an imposition. The question is this. What is the standard or measuring stick by which graduation for a STO or service to others person will be measured? How is this judgment made? My background of studies leads me to think that any judgment or measure would have to be made based on the development of the individual, based on choices the individual has made. It seems it should be available to all, no matter what system of belief is used as a tool. In addition, it seems that it has to be an energy-based determination that is based on resonance and sacred geometry somehow. In Carla's channeling, Ra stated that requirement for graduation from third to fourth dimension was to be 51% service to others, and I think it was 95% service to self for that polarity harvest. So why is this number 51 and not 50.1 or some other number? How is this 51% determination made? What is it based on and how is it measured? Is it some count of deeds and service to others versus deeds and service to self? Is it an energy measurement of crown chakra which reports an aggregate status of all deeds for all time? In the Christian system that I grew up in, it is taught that the only requirement is the belief and personal embracing of the concept of perfect sacrifice of Christ. In a number of places in the New Testament, it is said that for eternal life there is to be belief in Christ. Now, I did a lot of thinking about what the salvation experience might really be in the context of a much larger scheme. I've discovered by reading material on other religions and systems outside of Christianity, since it does seem that a Christian person's salvation experience is often a life-changing experience, then I observe that there must be something that does truly happen. One of the most fascinating things to me is the concept of chakras and the energy flows there being directly related to spiritual evolution or development. It seems that since we are energy beings, that this system might be the ideal one to evaluate an entity's progress because it is an impartial evaluation based only on the development of the individual. This is, of course, mentioned in many channeled writings and ancient teachings, so this is not an original thought. But I did try to relate the chakra concepts to what might be considered the Christian conversion to see if perhaps that could be a bridge concept and one that could help align the Christian person in such a way as to improve the possibilities for graduation. So let me explain my thoughts here. The salvation experience seems to have a ritual to it, or a formula. I've pondered through this formula to see if I could bridge the concept with the concept of balancing chakras, and this is what I roughly came up with so far. Formula step number one, recognizing that I'm a hopeless sinner in need of redemption. Here we are acknowledging that we have energy center blockages due to beliefs of separation, sin, reinforcing the belief that we are separate from our Creator, sinful, and need to reunite. We are also, in a sense, saying we may not have yet chosen to work in a straightforward way to achieve either a positive or a negative energy center polarity, since the separation beliefs make that non-useful anyway. We have given control of life to the ego since we don't consciously recognize or find ourselves worthy to connect with spirit consciously. Now, metaphysics concepts would say that it's not possible to truly be separate from the Creator, for we are the essence of the Creator, as is all of creation, for all is one. But we can certainly hold the belief, apparent illusion, that we are separate, and so we certainly will, because not only will we block ourselves from the possibility of activating and balancing the chakras to connect with Christ consciousness, but we will also firmly avoid the paradigm that says that's possible to do in the first place. Please proceed to part 6.